financial or sexual. And Sansom didn't make his money in the army. You think he was having an affair with Susan? Possible. He could have met her at work. He's the kind of guy who is always in and out of the place, photo opportunities, stuff like that. He's married. Exactly. And it's election season. I don't see it. Susan wasn't like that. So, suppose he wasn't having an affair with her. Then maybe he was having one with another HRC staffer and Susan was a witness. I still don't see it. Me either. Because I don't see how information would be involved. Information is a big word. An affair is a yes-no answer. Maybe Susan was working with Sansom, not against him. Maybe Sansom wanted dirt on someone else. And why would Susan come to New York instead of D.C. or North Carolina? Jake said, I don't know. And why would Sansom ask Susan for anything anyway? He's got 100 better sources than an HRC clerk he didn't know. So where's the connection? Maybe Sansom had an affair long ago with someone else when he was still in the army. He wasn't married then. But there were rules. Maybe he was banging a subordinate. That resonates now in politics. Did that happen? All the time. To you? As often as possible. Both ways around. Sometimes I was the subordinate. Did you get in trouble? Not then. But there would be questions now if I was running for office. So you think there are rumors about Sansom, and Susan was asked to confirm them? She couldn't confirm the behavior. That kind of stuff is in a different set of files. But maybe she could confirm that Person A and Person B served in the same place at the same time. That's exactly what HRC is good for. So, maybe Lila Hoth was in the army with him. Maybe someone is trying to link the two names for a big scandal. I don't know. It all sounds pretty good, but I've got a local tough guy too scared to talk to the NYPD, and I've got all kinds of dire threats, and I've got a story about some barbarian crew ready to slip the leash. Politics is a dirty business, but is it that bad? Jake didn't answer. I said, and we don't know where Peter is. Don't worry about Peter. He's a grown-up. He's a defensive tackle. He's going to the NFL. He's 300 pounds of muscle. He can take care of himself. Remember the name, Peter Molina. One day you're going to read about him in the paper. But not soon, I hope. Relax. So, what do you want to do now? Jake shrugged and stumped around, up and down on the sidewalk, an inarticulate man, further stymied by the complexity of his emotions. He stopped and leaned on a wall, directly across the street from the 14th Precinct's door. He looked at all the parked vehicles, left to right, the Impalas and the Crown Vicks, marked and unmarked, and the strange little traffic carts. She's dead, he said. Nothing's going to bring her back. I didn't speak. So, I'm going to call the funeral director. And then? Nothing. She shot herself. Knowing the reason won't help. Most of the time, you never really know the reason anyway. Even when you think you do. I want to know the reason. Why? She was my sister, not yours. You didn't see it happen. He said nothing, just gazed at the parked cars opposite. I saw the vehicle that Theresa Lee had used. It was fourth from the left. One of the unmarked Crown Vicks farther along the row was newer than the others, shinier. It winked in the sun. It was black, with two short, thin antennas on the trunk lid, like needles. Federal, I thought. Some big budget agency with the pick of the litter when it came to transportation choices and communications devices. Jake said, I'm going to tell her family, and we're going to bury her, and we're going to move on. Life's a bitch, and then you die. Maybe there's a reason we don't care how, or where, or why. Better not to know. No good can come of it. Just more pain. Just something bad about to hit the fan. Your choice, I said. He nodded and said nothing more. Just shook my hand and moved away. I saw him walk into a garage on the block west of 9th, and 4 minutes later I saw a small green Toyota SUV drive out. It went west with the traffic. I guessed he was heading for the Lincoln Tunnel and home. I wondered when I would see him again. Between 3 days and a week, I thought. I was wrong. Chapter 19. I was still directly across the street from the 14th precinct's door when Theresa Lee came out with two guys in blue suits and white button-down shirts. She looked tired. She had caught the call at 2 a.m, which put her on the night watch, so she should have quit around 7 and been home in bed by 8. She was way into overtime. Good for her bank balance, not so good for anything else. She stood in the sunlight and blinked and stretched, and then she saw me on the far sidewalk and did a classic double take. She smacked the guy next to her on the elbow and said something and pointed straight at me. I was too far away to hear her words, but her body language screamed, "Hey, that's him right there!" with a big exclamation point in the vehemence of her physical gesture. The guys in the suits automatically checked left for traffic, which told me they were based in town. Odd-numbered streets run east to west. Even numbers run west to east. They knew that. In their bones. Therefore, they were local. But they were more used to driving than walking, because they didn't check for bicycle messengers coming the wrong way. They just hustled across the street, dodging cars, scrambling, splitting up and coming at me from the left and the right simultaneously, which told me they were field-trained to some degree, and in a hurry. I guessed the Crown Vic with the needle antennas was theirs. I stood in the shade and waited for them. They had black shoes and blue ties, and their undershirts showed through at the neck, white under white. The left sides of their suit coats bulged more than the right. Right-handed agents with shoulder holsters. They were late 30s, early 40s, in their prime. Not rookies, not out to pasture.